Real quickly, I'm going to tell you about the homily I'm not going to give. Okay? But if you do not think that being refugees or immigrants is not written into our DNA, then you weren't listening to the first reading. That's the homily I'm not going to give. Okay? The one I would like to talk about this evening is, very simply, the fact that we're all tempted. It is a part of who we are. Everyone, if you're going to be a human being, undergoes temptations. And of course, our writing of this temptation story is very interesting because, of course, it developed over the course of time. Gospel of Mark was probably written first and then followed by the Gospel of Matthew. Luke comes third in probably the chronology of when the Gospels were written. And notice that the story gets longer each time. Because one of the things that we continue to struggle with, and I think if we were writing the story today, the story would be even longer. Because we've even had more time to contemplate what in the world it means to us that Jesus was completely God and completely human. We're really never comfortable with that whole thing of what that means. And what did it really mean for Jesus to be that full combination of God and human? One of my professors once said to me, he said, you know, the minute you start preaching about Jesus, you wind up actually very quickly becoming a heretic. You're going to wind up falling off the razor's edge one way or the other. So there you have it. Okay? We sometimes want to emphasize one part over another, but the point is that we have to keep thinking about what did it mean for Jesus to be tempted? He was God. How do you tempt God? But that human part of him, like the human piece of all of us, is able to be tempted. And if we just pretend that it didn't matter to him, or we pretend that he was in control the whole time, or we pretend that it really wasn't a problem for him, then we're falling off on that razor's edge and we're not allowing the fact that he wanted things too. He wanted things too. And so let's look at his temptations that this author of Luke puts on Jesus this evening in today's gospel. And we see, first of all, well, I mean, you got to chuckle a little bit at that one line in the gospel that said, you know, he didn't eat anything for 40 days, and after that time, he was hungry. No kidding. Okay? Whenever we fast, and that's one of the reasons why we fast, is because we empty ourselves out to remind ourselves that we are hungry. And of course, during Lent, what we're supposed to be reminding ourselves that what we're really hungry for is God. Okay? But we have to sometimes empty ourselves out. We all have hungers. We all have them. We wake up in the morning. We're hungry. We get lonely. We get hungry. We get tired. We get hungry. We get sad. We get hungry. And we're always hungry for different things. Our hungers, our appetites are there. Jesus had them too. The temptation sometimes is to medicate ourselves past the comfort to where we don't really remember what we need anymore. What's really important to us anymore. We have to resist the temptation. Jesus had to resist the temptation. He had to resist the temptation to fill all those empty places with food and with drink and with pleasures of the flesh. And I mean that in every possible way, okay? We've got hungers. It's who we are. Part of who we are as human beings. It's part of what makes us so fun, okay? But at the same time, if we medicate ourselves past all that all the time, how do we know what we really need? It was a temptation for Jesus. Why? Because they wanted to make sure that if Jesus was going to be really human in this gospel, well, he had those temptations as well. Look at the second one, the temptation for power and fame. Who doesn't want a little of that? Who doesn't want to run the world? Who wouldn't like to just be able to say, let's make this happen, and let's make this happen? Now, I am here to tell you that when you get a little power and fame, it's really not all it's cracked up to be. Because most of the time, you really don't get to do what you want to do anyway. Any of you parents want to attest to that? Anybody who owns their own business? Anybody who has got a commitment to anybody or anything else? When was the last time you were free to just go do whatever you wanted to do? But no, the commitments tie us down. The commitments are what make it possible for us to be faithful, even when sometimes it limits our freedoms. Jesus had to be tempted by power and fame, just the same way that all the rest of us human beings are. The third one, of course, and this is the one that is probably one of my biggest sins. Okay, you know, everybody thinks, you know, it's so great to be a preacher, you can say this. The only thing is, you got to stand up here and admit to your own failings, okay? But the whole point for me in the third one is that Jesus, really, it's about wanting to flex his godness instead of relying on his humanness. My real sin is that I'd really rather be God than serve him. You know? I really would rather do my will than God's will. Some of you are like me. I'm just making a guess. But some of you are like me. We'd rather do our own will rather than always doing God's will. Wasn't that part of the reason why Jesus shrank himself down and became a human being too? So that he could show us once again, since we messed it up at the very beginning, that it was possible to do God's will. But we got to choose it. And the scary and sad part of the whole thing is God wants us to choose it, not to just be made to do it. But he wants us to choose it. He wants us to do it. The temptation was for Jesus to knock aside his humanity and just choose to be God in its fullness again. He resisted the temptation. The Father's will was more important than his own. And so he was faithful to the mission. Every year, I'm always amazed, and this is one of Sister Diane's famous quotes, but Sister Diane always talks about, yeah, I don't know why everybody runs around trying to find Lent. Lent always finds us. And it does. Lent always finds us. It's already found me again this year. Here I thought I was going to work on that first temptation, and I wind up having to work on this one instead. And you know what my real temptation is right now at this point in my life? It's the temptation to want it all to be easier. I'm tired. I want it to be easier. And foolishly, I think that as a pastor, it should be easier. I think you all should do things the right way, and you just won't. I think that if everybody was better, my God, I wouldn't have to hear confessions all these different times throughout Lent. I think to myself, if everybody just communicate with each other and be open and honest about the communications, I wouldn't have to worry about back-channel communications and people jockeying for power and position. I'm tired. Do you realize only in the last year have I begun to fantasize about what it's going to be like to retire? I never used to think about that. But I am now. Because I'm tired. And I want to tell you something. It's not just St. Peter's. It's Sacred Heart. It's St. Anne's. I'm going to make a wild guess that it's St. Mary's. That it's St. Mary's in Lamar. That it's St. Mary's in Seneca. That it's happening down in Neosho and Knoll. Why would I expect there to be a perfect parish, but yet I want it to be easier because it would be easier on me? Some of my wicked stepbrothers had the unabashed gall to say to me a few weeks ago, well, Jay, if you just didn't want to run the whole world, you know, you wouldn't have this problem. And I said, stop, just wait just a second. I didn't ask for any of this. I've always been called and asked if I would do something. So if you want to accuse me of anything, don't accuse me of wanting to run the world, but accuse me of being stupid enough to say yes. And then I looked at him and I said, you can have any of my jobs. Go to the bishop and ask for whichever one you want, and I'll be happy to give it to you. I knew they weren't going to take any of them, but that's what I said. And finally, they just got quiet and went on to a different part of a conversation. My temptation this Lent is that I want it to be easier. But I'm going to tell you this. Anything we're striving for, anything we're striving for, is never going to be easy. Any of the good things that we want in our lives, any of the good things that we work for, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. It's going to require work. God forbid it's going to require discipline. God forbid it's going to require us denying ourselves every single day, taking up our crosses and following in the Lord's footsteps. And so please don't be worried about me. Last night after this homily at Sacred Heart, my God, everybody's coming after me asking, I'm going to pray for you this week. Pray for me, but I'm praying for you too. I'm okay. You'd have to worry about me a lot more if I didn't see my temptations. And so I'm going to pray that you see yours this week too. Whatever it is, we're all tempted. We're all tempted to take shortcuts. We're all tempted to take the easy way. We're all tempted to just push it all aside and do what we want to do rather than what we think God wants us to do. I'll ask your prayers this week, and I'll promise you mine. We will continue to be tempted, whether it's about filling our hungers, whether it's about power and glory, whether it's about being God and not being us, or even something as simple as wanting an easier life. And I'm going to scare you a little bit with this. It will be now for us as it was then. Because even if we successfully managed to overcome these temptations, the devil might leave us, but only for a time, because the temptations will always be there.